Hi FM, 101.9 megahertz of life.
It is 7:18. I'm Howard Feldman. This is your Morning Mayhem. It's 101.9 Chai FM. A very good morning to you. Good morning as well to Dr. Carl. Good morning. How are you?
Dr. Howard, lovely to speak with you again.
Nice to chat to you. So it's interesting that on Chai FM Kids, News for Kids, we were talking about dinosaurs. Tyrannosaurus was not just a relentless, fierce eating machine. It had finesse.
It had lots of finesse. It wasn't just fierce and with great force, it had finesse. So it had a head maybe 1.5 meters long, with teeth up to 30 centimeters, 1 foot long. And in the jaw, we have recently discovered via scanning 70 million year old bones, mm-hmm. we have found there's a canal in the jaw that carried nerves and blood vessels. And when we follow it through, it appears that it carried lots of nerves, lots and lots of nerves. So the mouth was like the mouth of the crocodile, exquisitely sensitive. It wasn't as though its only option was to go crunch and bite, but it could bite harder or softer, depending on whether it was going through bone or through flesh. And almost certainly, we don't know for sure, but almost certainly it was like the crocodile's, in that its mouth control was so delicate that it could pick up its babies and carry them from one place to another in its mouth and press hard enough to stop them from getting out, but not squash them. So it had finesse as well as fierceness, we think.
How do we know that? How do they take the bones, which is really what they have available, and extrapolate things like what type of nerve endings they would have had?
Because with the MRI scans, we can track the big canal called the dentary, D-E-N-T-A-R-Y, which runs along the jaw, and then it branches into smaller ones and smaller ones, and finally it goes into just nerves by themselves. And these are very small, but they can be picked up on the MRI scan. And when we go looking at modern crocodiles and do an MRI scan on them, we find that they have the same architecture of very fine holes or canals carrying things that are too small to be blood vessels. They have to be nerves. So we assume from that that they were in fact carrying nerves, and in a way they'd be similar to the crocodiles. With regard to nerves, let me give you an example of density. You have as many nerves devoted to sensation in your thumb as you have to your entire back. Wow. From your shoulder to your buttocks and from left to right. There are as many nerve endings for sensation in your tiny thumb as there is in your much larger back.
Is that why a paper cut is so painful?
Well, a paper cut is painful because the cut is made by something that is rippled instead of sharp and uniform like a knife blade, but secondly contains a lot of debris, and the debris sets up an immediate inflammatory pain reaction. So if you cut yourself with a very sharp scalpel on your finger, you hardly feel it, but with paper you feel it a lot.
Interesting. Sorry, I diverted you at that point. You were talking.
A good point. So if I get a pair of pins, two little pins, and I put them, say, 3 centimeters apart on your back, you can say I can feel two pins. But when I get the two pins 1 centimeter apart, all you feel is one pin. Whereas on your thumb, I can have them down to a millimeter apart and you can still feel that there's two separate pins.
Interesting. Very, very interesting. Wow, absolutely fascinating. Garen wants to know, why is the moon sometimes visible in the day?
That's because the moon and the Earth have got different rotation speeds. So the moon orbits. The moon orbits around the Earth once every month or once every 28 days, whereas the Earth spins on its own axis once every day. So the Earth spins very rapidly and the Moon spins very slowly. And if you want to look at it from an Earth point of view, the Sun goes around the Earth once every day. So with the Moon going around very slowly, taking 28 days, there will be times when it's in the same part of the sky as the Sun and other times when it's not. Try the experiment at home with different family members taking the part of the spinning Earth the sun and the moon, and then suddenly it becomes obvious.
Interesting. Absolutely fascinating. The question that I had for you is, why are anti-vaxxers so angry? Do they lack dopamine? Is there something going on there that we should be worrying about?
I think that they're genuinely concerned, and they are in many cases being honest with the information that they have. And they honestly do believe that vaccines have never been proven, and that vaccines are a profit-making part of Big Pharma. By the way, have you seen the movie The Constant Gardener?
No. Oh, yes, of course. Of course.
Yeah. Okay, so Big Pharma is not the big lily rose, but out of vaccines,
but
in general, they don't make much money.
Yeah, but all of these things can be true. You can still have Big Pharma making obscene amounts of money, but still doing good. You know, they're not mutually exclusive.
That's right. In the case of the Constant Gardener, they were doing bad. Mm-hmm. But in case of vaccines, they're doing good, possibly because they're pushed into it by the governments of the countries in which they are. Mm-hmm. So why are people so angry? Because they feel they're not being listened to. And the real reason they're not being listened to is they're wrong, but they don't think they're wrong. They genuinely think they're right, and they're not. It's like people saying 7 times 2 is 13.8. It's not. They're just wrong.
And you're not hearing me. So I have to put it on everything I can put it on social media. Mm. Mentos and carbonated cola drinks. Why does it erupt?
Yeah. So, in your typical carbonated drink, you've got about 3 to 4 liters of carbon dioxide per liter of drink. So if you have a small soda can, whether it's a cola or whether it's a clear lemonade, it's probably got about 4 atmospheres of carbon dioxide in there. So when you open it, that carbon dioxide, those individual molecules looking like little boomerangs, mm-hmm. they want to come out into the atmosphere where the concentration of carbon dioxide is 10,000 times less. And there's 2 ways they can do it. One is by diffusion, just the molecules drifting to the surface, then going across the surface into the outside world. But there's not much of a surface. It's quite small. And so they do it, but only slowly. Or secondly, they can do it by forming bubbles, but there's some physics that makes small bubbles hard to form unless, and here comes 2 fancy words, nucleation centers. Now, have you ever heard those 2 words together, Dr. Howard?
No. I've heard them both, but not together.
Yeah, so a carpenter once said to me, I was sanding with very fine sandpaper, 2400, which is really fine. 80, 100, 200, but 2400. I was sanding with very fine sandpaper, and it was a hot day, and then as the dust, very fine dust, almost invisible, drifted into where I was breathing out, suddenly my water droplets condensed. It was as though he was on a very cold morning and could see his water droplets in the air. But this was a hot day. And what was happening was that the fine dust particles were acting as nucleation centers. So in the same way, if you drop a Mentos lolly into a cola drink, it turns out the Mentos lolly has got a very rough surface, but very small little bumps, very small bumps, but lots of them. And they act as nucleation centers to help the carbon dioxide come out, so much so that you can get a jet of foam erupting out of your can of carbonated drink 0.5 meter to a couple of meters high. You get better results if you use a diet drink rather than a regular one.
I was going to ask you, is there a difference?
Yeah, it's better if you use not a cola because it can stain your clothing.
Finally, in 1926, what would you do if the front wheels of your Curtiss JN4D falls off soon after takeoff?
Yes, this actually happened to somebody, and this was in the early days of barnstorming, when they would go around America doing shows and getting money from people and flying them in their airplanes, and they would have people called wing walkers. And they were in the middle of filming a wing walking stunt when the wheel, which hadn't been bolted on properly, fell off, one wheel. And so if they were going to try to land, the wheel, the little triangle strut, the axle, the pointy axle would just dig into the ground, the plane would flip and bad things would happen. And there wasn't any water that they could land on. And then they came up with the idea of sending up another wheel on another aeroplane and then dropping it to the wing walker who was already on the plane. So the wing walker would literally, in those days, and they still do it today, would walk on the wing. Oh, my God. Mind you, you're only flying at 100 kilometres an hour, but still walking on a wing when you're 1,500 feet above the ground is
not
bad.
For me, yeah.
So they went out the wing and they were ready to catch the rope, the wheel from another aeroplane dropped down by a rope, and they missed it and it fell to the ground. And so they went down again, the other team, and then came back with a different wheel with no rubber, but at least it was round. I'm talking about a wheel like on a tricycle, maybe half the size of a bicycle wheel and quite light, you know, spokes. And in this occasion they were able to get it. And then they crawled onto the bottom, of the two wings of the biplane, the, Curtis Jenny JN4D. They crawled onto the bottom wing and then tried to kick it onto the axle, push it onto the axle, but it was the wrong size and it wouldn't stay there. And then they ran out of fuel and they had to land.
Right.
And the pilot said, we're running out of fuel. We've got to land no matter what. And the person on the bottom of the wing said, I know what I'll do. I'll hold it on with my leather shoe. So with their right foot, they hooked the foot on the far side of the strut to pull them onto the wheel, and their left foot pushed the wheel on, and they landed at about 80 kilometers an hour, and the wheel just rubbed against their leather shoe, and they came to a halt pretty quickly, and nobody died.
Don't try that at home.
Wow. Don't try this at home, folks.
Absolutely. Dr. Carl, thank you as always, and a delight to speak to you.